Good evening and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Hour two of the broadcast here on this Wednesday, the 19th of June, 2024. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. We have Stephen Douglas Whitener and additional co-host Paul Edward Stevenson today. And I should mention to listeners that RBN will be closed for live shows on Independence Day and the day after. So that's July 4th and 5th, Thursday and Friday. And of course, that's what 2 weeks from now. Weekend shows on the 6th and 7th will be left to the host's discretion, from what I understand. I was mentioning to help out RBN, you know, we were behind. I mean, we have every 6 months this $2,000 bill for the website, you know, the main republicbroadcasting.org, you know, and that we basically didn't have, the funds to cover that, you know, we're just barely scraping by for like current week's bills and payroll they were, you know, I mean, have been. But, you know, we've been mentioning for the last week or so, and you know, you listeners have been helping out a bit. I got an update here from up top. We're actually really close to having the funds to pay the server bill for the main site, republicbroadcasting.org. But management does need a little more, an extra $1,000. Frankly, would cover the bills at the moment, keep RBN afloat on payroll and all that. So I just wanted to mention that to folks. And you know, for our satellite listeners, aside from going to the website, there's the donate page, you know, with all the ways you could call in, you could mail, or, you know, you could use PayPal if you're comfortable. But that address for those who want to take it down with a pen or pencil, I'll give out, and also the number to donate, 800-724-2719, extension 3. I'll give that out again, but first the address. If you want to mail that donation, just make check or money order out to just RBN, all right, just the letters RBN. And, you know, cash, check, money order is fine. Just send that over to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. Please help RBN to continue broadcasting uncensored content well into the future. And again, that number you can call in to donate at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Regarding you who listen by satellite, we appreciate all our listener means. And for you satellite listeners, we have things totally upgraded and, you know, in better shape, perhaps as good as ever have been. We've got a perfect stream connection to the satellite host now being used for the uplink, and increased the volume almost 100%, so it is loud and clear. And there were lots of issues, you know, with the satellite since around November of 2023 until a few weeks ago, actually, but they all have finally been addressed. Okay, so folks, your donations do matter, and, you know, it can make all the difference. And just what we can accomplish, how many people we can continue getting information out to. And we do have new listeners in all the ways you can tune in all the time. You know, that is a fact. I can confirm even from callers, you know, that certainly is the case. But, well, Paul, Stephen, I had, you know, these little updates from Citizen Watch Report I shared with you. You know, it's kind of like a bulletin board blog of sorts. Used to be called Investment Watch Blog. And, you know, they're relating to the war zones. It's getting spicy, they're saying. So various links in there. U.S. greenlights new arms sale to Taiwan. I mentioned that. $360 million deal. It'll provide hundreds of armed drones and missiles. Putin says Russia and North Korea are fighting U.S. hegemony together. As, you know, these talks have concluded. We're hearing from the New York Post, or shall I say New York Post, threats of major terror attack in places like New York City, dangerously high, according to experts. So that tells me they're going to have false flags there if the New York Post is warning of that, right? Let's see. Putin says Russia and North Korea have vowed to aid each other if attacked. You know, again, regarding the results of this latest meeting. And this was a post from on X, one U.S. Civil Defense News at Captain Coronado. Update, F-16 fighter jets that the U.S. will transfer to Kiev will be deployed on the territory of Ukraine, according to the White House. And this is clearly a lie to try to divert attention away from the fact that any F-16s deployed to the Ukraine war will be operated out of NATO bases in Poland and Romania and will be flown by NATO pilots. So, you know, that's Paul?
Yeah, that's quite a funny story. So the idea is apparently, you know, the Russians are so stupid that they don't understand that those F-16s are going to be flying in from, you know, Germany or the Baltic nations or something. What they're going to do is they're going to fly in and then they're going to, you know, give them to the Ukrainians to fight with, you know. So they're going to land somewhere in Ukraine for the Ukrainians to take over, I guess. Of course, they're going to be coming in from the Baltic nations, or probably. And Russia has warned that not only will they be shot down, but where those planes are launched from, they will be legitimate targets as well. And if that is the case, then that can trigger Article 5. So, you know, look, if these people actually do believe or have always believed that their support of Ukraine would defeat the Russians, then each time it's manifestly obvious that that is not the case, then they escalate. You know, they escalated with the tanks, and then they escalated with, well, we'll allow the Ukrainians to fire inside Russian territory, but not too far. But since then, even, you've heard increasing talk about striking deeper into Russian territory, and you've had some very aggressive articles in our media over here about how it's fair game to strike inside, deep inside Russia. We need to be able to hit their, you know, military industrial complex bases, and we need to be able to hit this. And I mean, these little wimpy little upper middle class effeminate British types who live in some of the most salubrious areas in Surrey and Kent and have an apartment in London somewhere for the weekends, these are the types that are, you know, all gung-ho for the war and strike inside Russia. These are the tough guys. I mean, this is typical of the British wimpy, often, you know, questionable sexuality, whether they're men or not. I don't know how these guys ever get a woman who's attracted to them. I guess their money, which is basically filters down from corruption in one way or another and lies and propaganda. But these sort of effeminate kind of journalists at the Times and the Telegraph, these are always the guys who are, you know, aggressively pushing for the war. They're never affected by anything. They live in, you know, 5 million, 7 million pound houses, like I said, in some of the richest areas in the country. And so it's just more and more escalation. And are we expected to believe that they really believe this is going to happen? Like Stephen was saying, I mean, I think it was at that summit they reiterated. I think it was actually a Poland spokesperson that reiterated that, you know, the ultimate goal is to break Russia up into small pieces. So do they really think that they're going
to
be able to
call it a peace conference? On top of that, Paul, they call it a peace conference. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
double speak.
Yeah. It's so Orwellian. I mean, I heard Kamala Harris today in a clip, and she started off the clip by saying, we must always speak the truth. And then everything she went on to say after that was a complete and utter lie. Everything. including one of the biggest lies of our modern time, is that this was an unjustified and unprovoked by Putin, among the lies. So, you know, they keep this narrative as well. So, I mean, these are very dangerous times. I remember when we spoke about this guy a couple of years ago after this war started, and even before that, I think, when it was brewing, is that, you know, that the Western, you know, the Western powers, the largely, you know, Jewish oligarchs and their little puppets and their little, you know, prostitutes in our institutions, in our media, in our political institutions, in the Congress, in our parliament, etc., and same in Europe, are, you know, well, these people, when it becomes manifestly obvious that they're losing and that they're not going to get their own way, well, I think that, you know, they would rather bring the whole tent down and start a world war, including a nuclear war, rather than just go peacefully and say, well, there we go. We lost to Putin. We've spent the last 2 years demonizing this guy as the most evil human being since Adolf Hitler. And what, we're just going to let him win? This is what scares me. I just hope Putin knows what he's dealing with and knows what he's doing. Because he better checkmate these people in some way, because they will throw that chessboard, you know, up in the air, you know, becomes clear that they've been checkmated.
Well, I mean, basically, it seems to suggest to me that the BRICS nations are a threat to, you know, these Western globalists. At least some components of their plan, you know, I mean, maybe the green agenda and maybe the central bank digital currencies. I mean, from what I've seen so far, I mean, neither Russia nor China buy into or tolerate any of the, you know, carbon and methane pseudoscience, you know, fear propaganda, the insistence on not using so-called fossil fuels, you know, oil, coal, what have you. You know, I mean, they could put a big monkey wrench into plans to stop most of the serfs well, from having many sources in future, you know, these 15-minute cities you hear about and all that, you know, I mean, and then also, I mean, isn't it true, Paul, that to be a member of BRICS, I mean, I've heard this but haven't confirmed, to be a member of BRICS nations, it's a requirement you have a gold-backed currency, is that correct?
I'm not sure. I saw an article, was it earlier today or yesterday? There's been so much happening. It literally is impossible to keep up with it. It's just like you're looking at it and your head's spinning, because it's just like everything seems to be happening so quickly, you know, over the last sort of week or 10 days or a couple of weeks. It's just like, that's why it's kind of scary. You think it's like, have we got any control over this? Is there anybody, you know, at this rate, literally this war could kick off in about a week's time. You know,
I should turn it over to Stephen here. We haven't let him speak at all this
Stephen.
Hour.
Well, yeah, it should be obvious to these people that they're checkmated already. They can't even stop the Houthis. That's how delusional they are. They still believe that they're the hegemony in the whole, you know, over the whole globe here, that their military. I mean, our military is the tranny military, the U.S., and now they're going to start drafting. It's like, okay, that could turn around. They could change in military, but I don't know. At this point, we're just a global joke, you know? It just seems to me that it's all falling apart at the seams, and the thing, like you said, like as Paul put, throw the chessboard up in the air. That's the point where they would get to, and you know, they removed the Guerrier group because they can't even suppress the Houthis. That the and it's our I say, yeah, the West vaunted military supremacy is over, it looks like, in Israeli as well, as you pointed out. It ain't 2006 anymore around there either. And, you know, just it does seem like that's going to come to a head real soon. And it, oh, Netanyahu, okay, is hanging on to power there, using the war to hang on to power. Many people have said, Joe Biden said so, I believe, if I'm, or whatever Joe Biden, whatever passes as Joe Biden these days, you know, whatever he is, if I remember correctly. And I was reminded of a, you know, LBJ was in a president, wasn't going to be able to get reelected just like Biden was now. And then they had the Liberty trying to start this whole, that whole war back then. And now it's like, it's here we are with the Biden and this stuff ramping up again. Man, I'm glad they moved that Carrier group out of the Red Sea. I hope that it's not back in there, because who knows, they could do that again to a Carrier this time just to try to spark off the war. I will put anything past these people. You know, I had imagined that they would do that to Iran in the Persian Gulf. You talked about it being an indicator that the false flags would be held with the warning in the post with the terrorism, but it just seems like all of these other things indicate that they are ready to do a false flag to kick this war off too. It seems very, very ominous, man. I'm glad to be talking to you guys again too. We go back way back with this. It's just, you indicated, Paul, 2017, I think, or 18 at maybe.
Yeah, it was it may have been very late 2017, actually, the first interview. Paul and I, definitely by early 2018, we started doing shows together. I see we have a caller, a gentleman. Let's hear what he has to add and get your thoughts on. Joe in Florida. Hey, good to hear from you tonight. Good evening, Joe. What's on your mind?
Hey, Rich. Yes, Stephen, Paul. Great to hear you guys, too. Yeah. First time caller, by the way. Put up thumb. Anyway. No, listen, you know, I like what this scenario that Paul is talking about European leaders being so frantic that the war is about to kick off. So I had this idea. I actually talked with Jim Fetzer about it, but let me roll it out and see what you guys think about this. So to me, there's a key date coming up that we need to pay attention to. It's July 7th. So what is July 7th? July 7th will be the nine-month mark of the satanic Jewish terrorist genocide, okay? They've been actually committing genocide in front of our eyes, live-streaming it, and bragging about it, and saying to us, oh, what are you going to do about it? We just want to blow off the brains of more Palestinian babies. So it'll be 9 months. 9 months is a symbolic thing, right? And 9 months to give birth to a new life. So we think about the idea that July 7th is going to be 9 months. What happens at that point? It seems to me it'll be reaching a point where their plans, meaning the Jews' plans, to institute this one world government, one world Jew world order from Jerusalem, it's going to be a lot more clear at 9 months, even than it is right now. And then the other thing about July 7th, so what else is happening on July 7th? So that's the date where the runoff election in France is going to be done. In other words, the snap elections that Macaroni Boy, Macron, called on June 30th, I mean, that'll be the first round. The second round, by July 7th, it'll be clear that he's, if they have an honest election, which is questionable, but let's assume that they have a real election, he will be seeing that he's history, right? Because French people actually detest this wicked psychopath, Macron. And the one thing I'll say about that is to understand that of all the psychopath leaders of Europe right now, you know, Ursula, Never Stop Lying, and Rishi Sunak, you know, and Olaf Scholz, Sergeant Scholz, that Macron is actually the most dangerous. He's kind of slipped under the radar.
Yeah, you know, I was going to save it for another day to actually give the details, but I have a story with the headline here. Macron's idiotic Ukraine policies have paved the way for triumph of the French right. So, yeah.
That's right, just, right, exactly. But, yeah, and that's exactly the point. But here's the thing. I think, so there's two danger signs about France and Macron. Okay, so France is a nuclear power. That's one thing. But if they didn't have the nuclear weapons, you could maybe dismiss them and they're, you know, in their danger. But you can't. They're a nuclear weapon. And the other thing is, so Macron, what did he do? All the other European leaders are seeing the handwriting on the wall after the election last week. They are getting deathly frightened, right, because they know their time is limited. What did he do? He called a snap election. Now, that's very counterintuitive, right? Okay, why would you call a snap election if you just seen the handwriting on the wall? They're about to kick you out the door. Except for the fact that he's so megalomaniacal, I think he's either going to try and stay in power, okay, because we think he stole the election last time. I think he's going to stay in power, or I think that week between June 30 and July 7, he's going to actually announce that his troops in French troops are going to be in Ukraine, and he's going to try and kick this thing off by July 7th. What do you think,
guys? Well, let's hear from Paul. I mean, you know, he's close to France there. Paul, what do you think?
Well, it was very strange for him to call that because it's almost as if he doesn't want to be in power anymore. But it's very difficult to know. I think he's always been a bit like that, but particularly in recent weeks, his behavior is very perplexing. You know, his behavior is very erratic. And it's very difficult to put a finger on what's going on with that guy. It's almost at times you think that, I mean, they're all crazy. But when I see him out, you know, at these events and along with these other, you know, psychopaths, he looks like particularly kind of unhinged, like he's, that there's actually, it goes beyond him just being a sinister, calculated, cold-hearted psycho, that there's something not right with him, that he should be in a mental hospital or something. He's just crazy.
I think you're right. Doesn't he style himself as some kind of a De Gaulle, which is so delusional and ridiculous?
Yeah, he seems to sort of, with him, it's even possible that he's fed up. And I've heard some other guys I respect, like Alexander Mercurius and people like that, suggest this, that he's no longer interested in running France anyway, that it's kind of beneath him to run one country. He wants to, like, leave there and maybe become the next head of NATO or something, or replace Ursula von der Leyen or something.
I heard that Tony Blair is supposed to replace Klaus Schwab at the WEF head.
Yeah, well, exactly. So I think, you know, I think Macron sees himself as like, well, I've, you know, this is beneath me now. I want the Blair position, a kind of a Klaus Schwab position. You know, I'm 46 right now. It's like, you know, I need to be going up the ladder here a bit, you know.
Yeah, I had this one from Germany. Germany moves closer to Alternative for Deutschland ban. Green claims party is security risk for people and democracy. Go ahead, John.
I mean, again.
Oh, go ahead, Paul.
Well, again, you know, they do this all the time. It's so Orwellian. I mean, how is it when you've got a party like the AFD, and the vote that they got was 24%, it was the second biggest vote, when people go out and actually vote, that's called democracy. How is it a threat to democracy? You know, it is really kind of, it's just so 1984. It's like, don't believe what you see. You know, they're a threat to democracy. No, they're a threat to, obviously, your authority. So you are the authoritarian, and you're constantly calling people far right and extremists and fascists. And when people vote to get rid of you, you say it's a threat to democracy. This is exactly the type of thing that you accuse Adolf Hitler of, and the communists of, and you accuse Putin of. Oh, they're not real elections. They don't have democracy there. And then when you get a democratic vote, well, we need to ban these people. The irony seems to be completely lost on them, you know?
Stephen?
Exactly. You know, we have...
There was recent,
Stephen.
there was recently some plot supposed there in Germany with the right-wing party that they had arrested these perpetrators for. Someone said it was false flag to discredit them, that they had really, Germany just, I don't see how they rise up against that. And they will. Yeah. You think so? Do you think that?
I know that they want to. There's a massive struggle going on inside Germany. There really, really is. And, they're not going to tolerate that, if they ban them. It's one thing what they did over here, banning the British National Party, or they could quite easily sort of, ban someone like Patriotic Alternative or something like that. But when a party gets to that level, there's a lot of funding goes on. That's a big operation to shut that down. There would be absolute chaos in Germany, and I think there probably will be if they attempt to pull that stunt.
Joe?
Yeah, exactly. I introduced another thought, which might be, you might poo-poo, but so recently, this Catholic prophecy circles. No, I don't believe everything I hear from these people, but there actually is a phrase and some that some people like. There's a famous French-Canadian mystic, Father, what's his last name? Anyway, he makes this prediction that he's heard these, prophetic kind of, that the line that him and other sort of mystics in these circles, again, I don't believe every word they say, is that, quote, France will be the spark that will start the war. Okay, this is kind of a line that they received, a mystical thing. Now, again, I'm not saying this is a prediction, I don't buy into it, but the idea is the war, meaning there is a war, and we can see every day the signs are happening, that these people, depraved Jews that run the West, okay, and their puppets like Rishi Sunak and Boris Johnson and Olaf Scholz and Ursula never stop lying, they are all desperate to start a war. But like I say, Macron, he may be the joker in the deck, right? He comes off as kind of harmless in some ways. But I think he is severely, I exactly agree with you, Paul. He is mentally deranged because I think, and you pointed out rightly that a few months ago, he actually said, we're sending troops to Ukraine. He was sort of jumping the gun and then he had to backtrack it. So I think there's actually evidence, you can believe the prophecy you say or not, but I think there's plenty of other evidence to show that this person, Macron, is super dangerous. And I think I agree with you. We could be at the starting a world war like any day, frankly.
Yeah, and you just sort of feel that way. It's like you're going to wake up and think, well, what's next? It's like, oh, dear. I mean, oh no. It's like, oh, shit. Sorry, excuse my language. But it's like they're really, really flirting with serious danger. I mean, it really is incredible to watch it. And the speed of it accelerating. I don't think the Russians would worry too much. Even if, it depends. It depends how the wider alliances would react if Macron sent in French troops. But I don't think the Russians would consider that, a serious red line, because they would just kill them all, and that would be the end of that. Because they don't have the capability to worry the Russians.
Here's the scenario. Yeah, here's the scenario. Let me just say, sorry, Paul.
Actually, we have the break here. Well, let's hold you over to the other side, Joe, because we're about to hit the commercial. Yeah. Sure. It should be interesting. And folks, please support republicbroadcasting.org. Go to that donate page, and you could just call 800-724-2719, extension 3. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. Will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraine, Ltd. at Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey here with Stephen Douglas Whitener and Paul Edward Stevenson. And we have Joe in Florida on the line. I'll just point out, as far as occupied nations, it's important how you mentioned Jewish control of these Western NATO countries, Joe. Germany, we are mentioning Germany, of course, ever since World War II has not been, Germans controlling their own nation. They've been occupied by Jewish power ever since 1945. And France, frankly, it started after Napoleon, with the French Revolution, the Jewish infiltration, subversion with Jewish power gradually, and no longer looking out for French interests. So,
exactly.
Yeah, but you were talking about how unhinged a lot of Macron's actions have been lately, Joe. So please continue.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Napoleon too, because historically, I think that, Stephen and Paul. So Napoleon, just as a side note, what was the great danger that he ignited, right? He allowed Jews to become citizens of France. That's what happened in the French Revolution. or after it, they became citizens. Well, the fact is, history shows us one thing you cannot do. Jews cannot be citizens, okay, of any country. That's why they've been thrown out. Because why? Because they cannot be relied on to serve the interests of the country they live in. Okay? They serve only their own interests. I'm not saying every single Jew, but you get the picture. This is what's happening in America. But getting back to that scenario, it's a good thing, Paul. I want to get your feedback. The idea of the scenario, what I thought would be, so we know that France already has troops in Ukraine, as far as I'm concerned. There are NATO troops all over there, so just pretending they're not there. But Macron comes out and makes it a definitive and then maybe moves more troops in there. He fires a missile, a French troop fire missile, and it hits Russian territory proper. And then Putin, rightfully, wipes out maybe 100 French soldiers, right? And then what happens? Then Macron, the coward, what does he do? The first thing he does, he waves the Article 5 flag, right? And that's World War III. What do you think?
What, by killing the French troops in Ukraine?
Yeah. In other words, Macron then comes back and says, oh, well, my country, France, is being attacked. Because he's got French troops.
But that wouldn't trigger Article 5. That wouldn't trigger Article 5, as far as I understand it, because he would have to hit French territory. And if he struck the Russian... Yeah, no, I think it is.
I understand. Because, no, I understand that. But I wouldn't put it past Macron to try and pull something. I'm just saying, maybe it's not that way, but I think there's a real scenario, and I think the danger of most is Macron, because why was he saying these things a few months ago about, oh, we're putting troops in there, and we're shortly going to, you know, he's obviously itching for war. Yeah, he's itching for war, and now he's going to be desperate for war because he knows he's going to be thrown out by July 7th,
well,
I think.
Yeah, well, he's seriously running out of time. I mean, I think, you know, it will trigger Article 5 if they send in, you know, if they fly in F-16s from one of the Baltic nations, and then Russia destroys one of the, you know, launch bases in one of those countries. That'll do it.
That's a scenario too.
Putin has already said they will do that, and they know that would trigger Article 5. So that's a real serious warning to them. So if they do that, I think we can safely say then that the West actually do want a war, because at that point they would pull back. They would say, listen, you know, Russia has threatened us with this. Although they keep dismissing everything the Russians say and keep saying, oh, we've already crossed all these red lines and he hasn't done anything.
Exactly.
But the fact of the matter is more often than not, in fact, I think in all cases, they're crossing their own red lines, you know, we're not going to send the tanks, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that, and then they do it. But Putin has never said that, you know, he's going to use nuclear weapons for those things. But he has said that he will attack those military bases if they are launched, say, from the likes of one of the Baltic nations. And he has warned them by saying, you countries who've got, you know, very small countries in terms of your landmass, but very densely populated, should be very careful when you're supporting things like attacking Russian territory. In other words, we can drop a nuke and wipe you clean out. Even one of those tactical nuclear weapons would do a serious amount of damage in one of those small countries, like Estonia or something, you know, or Latvia.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, they could find any pretext. We know they're deranged criminals, you know, NATO. But the thing is interesting, too, is it brings up the question of this Article 5 fetish, apparently, that NATO has, right? Think about it. So here is the American media and Western media all saying, oh, my God, Putin's meeting with Kim Jong-un, and Putin's meeting with Xi Jinping, and Putin's meeting, right? They're supposed to freak us out, right? Meanwhile, this Article 5, by the way, did you ever vote for Article 5, Richard or Stephen? I'm not saying you, Paul, because I'm talking about from an American point of view. How did we get dragged into this Article 5 fetish? Right. Okay. So Article 5, meanwhile, they're criticizing Putin for even meeting with leaders and developing alliances, which is very successful. But all of a sudden, we Americans and other Europeans have to slavishly defend. We have to send people from Michigan, Ohio, Florida, wherever, men and women now, apparently, right, to die because one French soldier was killed or whatever they pretext that they use, even Polish. I mean, I actually, I don't agree with Article 5. You know, do we have a right to disagree with Article 5?
Neither do
I. Don't think we
do. Stephen?
Do.
I don't agree with NATO at all, and I'll tell you how it happened. Two out of three senators present are needed to ratify a treaty, not you know, just two out of three of the ones present. So two, if there are three there, then two senators could bind us to a treaty. It just that's how it happened. I just had that thought when you asked how, but that's another matter.
and hey, gentlemen, did you hear the update regarding that floating pier in Gaza? That $230 million Gaza floating pier, the U.S. is giving up on it. You know, I mean, after like some sections broke off during a storm and were going to be repaired at, you know, at some Israeli bases, they decided at this point they're just going to scrap it after it was just operational for 10 days. And so that's $23 million each of those 10 days for $230 million total. And, you know, I mean, that's because it's very minimal, the amount of aid getting that IDF is allowing in through land routes to the Gazans. They're trying to starve them out, you know, basically. And so, I mean,
aid. Well, I don't know. Didn't they use that thing in a raid to kill, you know, they rescued a few hostages and killed a lot of civilians, too. And, you know, it just seemed maybe that was the whole point of the thing after all. Who knows? It was speculated that they wanted to use it to march the Palestinians off the pier and bring them here. I heard them saying that's what they were going to do with it. But
here,
go ahead.
A little excerpt I have here. The pier fiasco. The pier fiasco is the latest demonstration of the U.S. government's pathetic defense to Israel, unable to pursue its perennial multi-billion-dollar beneficiary to allow sufficient aid to pass through land crossings. The U.S. government felt compelled to spend $230 million trying to bypass the blockade, a blockade the same U.S. government continued to facilitate via military and financial aid. The pier opened for business May 18, got off to an inauspicious start after desperate Palestinians mobbed and ransacked the first aid trucks before they could reach a distribution warehouse managed by the World Food Program. A pier operation was paused for 2 days. You know, they're starving so much, you know, And then just a week after it opened, rough seas and high winds broke up the pier with four associated vessels running aground. That prompted another halt in operations as components were taken away to be repaired at an Israeli port. The pier was reassembled, but on Friday, U.S. Central Command announced it would be towed to Israel as high seas were moving in again. And again, it's been announced that they're just scrapping it altogether. So go ahead, Paul.
I think we need a peer review.
very good. Hey, Richard, let me do my reaction to that. Is that's a classic poll. I like that. So I think that story, I'm gonna pardon my French, Richard, but I think the technical term for that story is bullshit. Now here, but you know, I agree with you, Stephen. It's actually this event now that they're going to discontinue it, right? That's actually even more confirmation proof. The whole story about this being a humanitarian here, right, is a farce from the beginning. So there's actually videos from that day, and that was the refugee camp at Nusayrat, I think it is, okay, where the satanic Jew force, right, the IDF, used American humanitarian aid trucks to cover them. When they came on into the refugee camp, where, by the way, they rescued four Israeli hostages, but they murdered 274 Palestinians, okay? So this is a war crime. And there's actually videos I've seen on Twitter where you can see the humanitarian trucks coming off the pier, and then from behind them, these IDF soldiers. Is that the most depraved, wicked thing? You have starving people who are being led to believe that they're being brought food. And behind, from out behind of this so-called humanitarian aid truck comes IDF soldiers to slaughter them, 274 of them. I think this latest update is proof. This whole humanitarian aid so-called peer, right, we need to do a peer review of that. I think it's a total lie from the beginning. It's obviously been a CIA military operation because they were waiting to take the opportunity. You know, the CIA is actually Jake Sullivan, the Deputy Secretary of State or National Security Advisor. He's actually openly said, well, we were planning, we helped the Israelis plan the so-called rescue of these four hostages, right? So that's an admission to me. This was a CIA military op where they planned to use that fear to aid the satanic Jewish terrorists of the IDF to slaughter people, because that's our war, right? Oh, that's the war that America wants. Unbelievable.
Paul?
Yeah. I mean, it's totally disgusting. It's so sinister, the whole thing. Like you said, it's satanic. And, you know, these are, you know, with everything that's happening, and who's in quotes leading us at the minute, we're in for some serious tumultuous and precarious times. Like I said, you know, you're almost scared to put the news on in the morning and get any information. You're thinking, oh, what's next, you know?
Stephen.
Seems to be accelerating. You said 3 hours ago, last hour, that Nasrallah had made that speech. That's probably the next shoe to drop over there, that Lebanon's going to explode more. And
yeah, but what are the Israelis going to do then, you know, because, but Nasrallah is serious. Israel's never had that before. They now have the capability to send lots of weapons and overwhelm the Iron Dome into wherever they want. And then what's Israel going to do then, you know? They might drop a tactical nuke on Lebanon. Who knows? They're the most capable of it of any nation in the world. Make no mistake about it. Israel are the number one most likely country in the world to drop a nuke.
You're probably right.
Well, I see we have another caller who's been waiting. Anything you want to close with, Joe?
Richard?
Do you have a final thought? Yes, sir.
I just want to say, the show is great tonight, and I think you guys are all on the right path. Keep talking about this, because they're trying to distract us. Even our election, they're trying to distract us when we are much closer to World War III than we even realize. The last thing I'll say is I do believe in prayer, and I think prayer can even change the outcome of world wars. So that's the last thing. Call me an optimist, but I think we need to even pray more, because we can change things. God is still in control, as despotic and evil as human beings can be. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Joe. And we have Andy in Texas. Good evening, Andy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. You know, the thing that really kind of bothers me now is that I've been seeing a lot of videos of people, crossing the border and stuff, and then we're finding out they're from Jordan, they're from Turkey, they're from various different areas in the world. So, you know, even if they come across and they start to kill us or mess with our lifestyle or whatnot, these are some of the people that we've really kicked off. We've bombed their countries. we've been in Islamic bombardment and whatnot. And so these people are coming across here. And not only that, but they don't even like the other people. The Turkish doesn't like this. The Yemenis don't like that. The Jordanians don't like this. The Mexicans, they don't like anybody. Whatever, it doesn't matter. But the point is they're bringing in such a quarry of different varieties of people coming in here. And it's for the replacement of us. What's really... that really bothers me the most is that we've been killed. The United States has been killed. The people who lived here just had normal lives and whatnot. They fell for this trap of this COVID-19 shot. We've fallen to the trap, and now we're all being killed. They want us gone. And that you can totally see the replacement process going on. In 2025, they're supposed to own the weather. Well, they've owned it long before that. But by 2025, Deagle says that the United States will be down to less than 100 million people. And they didn't actually mean 100 million people in the country. They meant 100 million people who used to live in this country, because that's what this replacement process is, with all these people coming across the border and stuff. But not only that, now if they ever want a civil war, they've got several different entities inside of here that don't like each other and stuff. You know, the Ashkenazi Jews, this different faction.
But even blacks from other countries don't really like African Americans that much, you know, and their culture and stuff.
Yeah, no, the thing is that they're actually bringing things. So if they really want to assimilate a civil war, and of course we have this great MSM here that'll tell us that these are American people fighting against American people, and it could be just two different factions that came into this country illegally, and they're fighting, and they could tell us that it's an actual civil war. I mean, eventually, gosh, I hope, eventually, Americans going to stand up and say, hey, you know what, we've had enough, and we'll actually be part of that civil war or whatever it is they're going to call it. But whatever it is, they're trying to destroy our nation, and nobody can stop it. And that's the sad part about it, is there's nothing we can do to stop this. These people have assimilated everything. Everything is being assimilated to the point where we just cannot stop this stuff. And you know, we can talk about it. And that's what we're doing right now. We can talk about it right now, and we can let people know that, hey, get ready. You know, get your all your ducks in a row and get ready for this. But that's the basic point of where we're at right now. I mean, everything is going to hell in a handbasket, and nobody has control of the handbasket.
And you make good points where, I mean, it is relevant and beneficial for us to be talking about it, to being able to discuss all of these things. You know, I mean, I hear a lot of callers to RBN, James Stutzer's and other broadcasts, you know, some question, you know, why are we just talking? Why aren't we this or why aren't we that? Well, no, being able to talk about it. And that is a good quote, you know, out there about the essence of a Jewish power is the inability to discuss Jewish power. You suddenly break that taboo everywhere, and then that's quelched too. As far as the factions, that's important to be aware of. You know, I mean, it doesn't mean that you're trying to add to the divisiveness and the pressure cooker, above the polarization. But we also see there is a replacement agenda. You know, it's not white supremacist or meaning you want to kill all non-whites just because you're recognizing that and you think that we should be able to sustain with our countries and culture like anyone else there. But I mean, you know, I mean, it's okay to be able to recognize, again, that's another thing, you know, I mean, people will try to dismiss being racially aware of some of these things that they're setting up for, yeah, something to really go down. I don't know, let's hear from both of my co-hosts, Andy, on your points and my additions there. Stephen, since you're an American here, let's go to you first, sir.
That sound like a dangerous thought criminal there, Richard. The very idea that we could conspire to survive. That's conspiracy, don't you know? Just having a plan to survive is being guilty of conspiracy these days with our powers that should not be ruling the U.S. That's the sad place we are now, I think. That's yeah. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, well, you know, there are signs of life anyway in Europe with what's happening on immigration, but it's, you know, I mean, it probably will, hopefully, within the next few years, materialize into something significant. But, you know, after these elections, for example, these people smugglers are sending more and more people across on these dinghies, these boats across the English Channel from France, whom we pay to stop them getting on these boats. And Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister of the UK, of course, had it as an election sort of manifesto, you know, stop the boats, we're going to stop the boats. Well, he hasn't stopped the boats, and, you know, it's going to be a complete wipeout for the Conservatives. But then we're going to get Labour, who are, they don't even pretend that they want to stop migration. But just today, I think we've had the highest level on record of illegal migrants crossing the English Channel. I think there was close to 1,000 of them came across the English Channel today, because of Europe. It's a perfect storm, because of what's happened in Europe. There, these people smugglers are now saying, you know, your days are numbered in Europe, because there's a push to the right and they don't want immigration. So you guys better get yourself to the UK, where you're going to be able to, you know, have a better life, and do it quickly. So you've had almost 1,000 came over today because the weather conditions are good. And because these people smugglers are saying Europe's going to be very hostile to people like you very soon. So these people are just flooding across the English Channel.
Get your illegal immigrant benefits, bread and circus now while you can. Right?
Your wife or,
yeah.
So, you know, it's not good for the UK, but, and of course, this is all exaggerated anyway, because there is no actual hostile environment, really, to illegal immigrants in Europe yet. Not really. But you're seeing signs in the right direction of stopping this, because these people are obviously not real refugees fleeing anything. They are just fleeing, in most cases, you know, poverty and their own culture. And they want to come here and you know, what are they going to produce when they're here? What, you know, they produce what they do produce. They just replace us. They have lots more children. They increase crime. They lower the tone culturally in every way. They have different practices, culture, religion. So, no, we don't want them. And they just keep coming. And this is why there's going to be a Tory wipeout, even though we're going to get Labour, who will probably increase it further.
Do you gentlemen think there's going to be like an engineered Rodney King or BLM 2020 riot type thing with the results of this election? I mean,
well, here's one other thing.
Uh-huh.
Let me just throw this in. If the Democrats really believe that Donald Trump is going to get into power, they might pull a false flag and pull a Zelensky and say, oh, we're at war, we have to cancel the election. Mm-hmm. I would not put that past them. These people are not past anything at this stage.
Stephen?
Neither would I. Yeah, I agree with that whoever is selected, the other party, the other side, is not going to accept it. And why would they? We're a laughingstock around the world now, since they blatantly stole the 2020 right in front of us. And it just, yeah. Hey, thanks for having me, y'all.
Well, Andy, I don't know. I hope those were sufficient feedback. Well, do you have some final thought?
Hey, well, the last thing I want to say is that, hey, we're in trouble. I mean, I don't care what it is that they're calling us. It's an immigrant replacement program, whatever it is. It doesn't really matter. The thing is that America needs to take up arms and take care of themselves. Thank you very much for letting me take the call.
Yes, and thank you for the call. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah, hope you gentlemen enjoy the rest of your week. Folks, please support Republic Broadcasting Network so that we will speak again soon. And until next time, transcend the construct. Regards.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.